Do you know what, Jen? I don't think I've ever looked better in my life. I think I'm at the peak of my physical prowess.
I think you are.
At the moment. And yeah. I would love to share that with people. I'd love people to be able to see me in the flesh.
It's selfish to keep this.
It is. This amount of radiance needs to be shared. So I thought what I would do is invite people along to see me in real life.
To be in the same room at the Museum of Comedy.
At the Museum of Comedy, because comedy is what I do most of the time.
And you belong in a museum.
No.
It was, how rude.
My self-esteem had climbed and now it's back down on the floor. But no, I love the Museum of Comedy and I'm going to go there and I'm going to take my raw magnetism with me on Wednesday the 24th of April.
Can I come too?
You can. Just try not to sort of detract from my glow, you know.
Okay.
We are going to have the magnificent Jenny Ryan, a magnificent guest.
Ooh.
TBA. Wednesday the 24th of April. Put it in your diaries. Bring your sunglasses because I am shining.
Yeah, get your tickets now. The link is in our social media or from the Museum of Comedy website.
Oh, please do come. Jen's all right as well.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What's your name?
Jenny Ryan.
Correct. What's my name?
Lucy Porter.
Correct. What are we doing?
We're making a podcast all about quizzing.
Correct. What's it called?
Fingers on Buzzers.
Correct. Hello and welcome to yet another episode of
Fingers on Buzzers. I don't know what that was.
No, you held that note very nicely for quite a long
time. Thank you. Thank you very much.
We've got a brilliant guest today, someone who I have known since the dawn of time.
Really?
Since the planets came into existence. He is an eternally, infinitely good guest. It is Robin Ince.
Yeah.
And I've got a little quiz for him because he presents Infinite Monkey Cage. I've got a quiz about infinity that I thought might be quite fun.
Oh, lovely.
That'd be quite fun to do. And we're going to chat to him about it. I mean, he's done so much and he's got so many interests. A lot to look at there. I wanted to, before we do that, just have a quick chat because I have been catching up on some films. Mm-hmm. And I watched the movie Quiz Lady.
Yes.
Which is available on the Disney streaming service. Mm-hmm. And I thought we could have a little chat about quizzing in the movies.
Yeah.
Because now, if you haven't seen Quiz Lady, it's, I won't spoil it for you, but it's got Awkwafina and Sandra Oh.
Brilliant.
As sisters. And it is a lovely film about family dynamics. And it's a bit, it's centered around Awkwafina's character is a massive fan of this primetime quiz show and it's hosted by Will Ferrell and it's
doing his best Bradley Walsh.
He kind of, it's interesting, watch it and see the influences, but it is every quiz show host that you've ever seen, basically. He's a sort of classic quiz show host. And what is quite good about it is that there is quite a lot of quiz content, at least in the early stages. For example, the format of the quiz in the show, it's hard to read because they don't do a whole sort of show initially. But one round that I really liked is it is just naming as many things in a category as you can think of. Classic. Yes. So here's one for you, Jen.
Uh-oh.
Name all the Greek gods from Mount Olympus, like the Olympian gods.
Yeah. Oh. Well, you got your Zeus.
You've definitely got your Zeus.
Definitely got, yeah, your Zeus is up there with your Hera.
Yep.
Athena.
Yeah.
And
I'm trying not to say Roman ones.
Yes.
Apollo.
Yeah.
Artemis.
Mm-hmm.
She Roman. Oh God, I'm overthinking.
Do you know
it.
What I'm saying? Yeah. Yes and no. I've got no idea because I haven't got the. What we'll do, we'll come back to it and I will read you out the list. But it's quite a nice,
yeah,
a nice thing. You just lovely. Sort of quiz along a little bit, and it's about someone who grew up watching Quiz, kind of uses Quiz as a comfort in mm-hmm. their life, but is quite shy about going on and doing quizzes. Mm-hmm. And I just thought for us, it's sort of there's a real personal resonance for me
absolutely.
Of that sort of feeling like the quiz show is something safe and stable in your life that you can enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it is, yeah, it's a really, it's very sweet. I mean, it's kind of.
It's what you'd expect.
It's what you'd expect. But, and Will Ferrell does Will Ferrell in it. But anyway, I really enjoyed it. And I did think, I love films about quizzing.
Yeah.
I want there to be more because I really like Starter for 10, love the book.
Yes.
Love the film. Quiz show,
mm-hmm.
obviously. Drama.
Yes.
And I couldn't really think of any others.
Well, when quizzes are brought into Hollywood or movies, they tend to be about the TV quizzes. So I've been thinking of Magnolia. So yes. one of the story strands in Magnolia is the kids on the quiz show.
Yes.
Which is quite an interesting angle. But again, it's just sort of a sideways little look, and it's the glamour of it, and it's behind the scenes. That's what people want, the little peek behind the curtain. But there aren't that many about, you know, the joy of just going to a pub quiz or,
yes.
you know, what quiz means to people in their everyday lives. So there's possibly a gap in the market there. I did just have a look and found a Dutch movie called Quiz.
Yep.
And a famous game show host is being harassed in a restaurant by a strange man who claims to have kidnapped his wife and daughter.
Ooh.
Oh, wow. This sounds very thrilling. Yeah, so a morbid game ensues in which the game show host turns out to be the contestant.
Ooh.
Oh, so it sounds a bit like Taken mashed up with a quiz show.
Which is very much my dream. Because I do have a specific set of skills, which is quizzing. And so, well, if any of our listeners can think of other examples of quizzes in film that you have enjoyed, if you've got any ideas for movies you'd like us to make, I feel like, you know, that's... That's not a bad idea. Amanda's very good suggestion was a Christmas movie.
Yes.
In the world of quiz. So that's what I'm going to get on with writing is a sort of heartwarming.
The office Christmas party takes place at a quiz.
Yes.
There's a meet cute for sure.
Somebody has to borrow a pen.
Yeah. It could be in that sort of Love Actually mold of, you know, parallel stories that intertwine. And
yes, the quiz master.
A heartwarming denouement.
Tell you what, the quizmaster has a heart attack and then somebody else has to take over hosting the quiz. That's sort of, that feels like that could be a good sort of Christmas. Yeah. The, you know, our lovable heroine is, she secretly always wanted to host a quiz.
And is thrust into the spotlight.
And then, you know, the guy she's got a crush on is really thick and I don't know, she has to navigate. Anyway, we're working it out.
Yeah.
As with all our ideas, it's pretty half-assed, but it'll get there in the end. Maybe we can workshop that with our fabulous guest today. I mean, he is a writer. He is a big brain. It's Mr. Robin Ince. And here he is, the one, the only Mr. Robin Ince.
Hello.
Hi. Always a pleasure to see you. For many decades, I've been having the pleasure of seeing you.
Since 1995.
95.
96.
Yeah, when we did an Edinburgh show together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And almost the last time I saw you was doing Mastermind when you became Mastermind of Masterminds.
The Mastermind of the Champion of the Champions of the Most Championist. Yes, so well, shall we crack straight on and talk about your Mastermind experience?
Yeah, sure.
So now, tell us all about you and Celebrity Mastermind.
Well, I turned it down every single year because the BBC offer me nothing apart from every Christmas some celebrity, which clearly I'm not, because if I was a celebrity, I'd be offered things apart from things with the word celebrity in them. And I'd managed to put it down because I was so worried about doing it because when I was 11, I was in the school quiz team and I just went blank. And I only got one question right because everything's... And so I've carried that with me. So the idea that I would go on Mastermind, and then it was in one of those in-between shutdown things, which were, you know, the rather clever thing the government did to keep, you know, breaking up creating another situation where there had to be a shutdown. And in that in-between time, so I had no alibi. I didn't have a tour. They'd know I didn't have a tour. They'd know my diary was entirely empty. And so I said yes, and then just felt physically sick for... And I didn't want to do the subject I was doing. I wanted to do Kurt Vonnegut, but they said, oh, I'll take ages to research that, which I think is roughly how it works.
Yes.
And then I said, Rick Mayall? And they said, oh, there's not an official book about him. And I thought, well, you don't really need an official book, because you could just be that type, however Mastermind works, that's how Mastermind works. Mm-hmm. And so eventually I went, the young ones, and they went, yes.
Yeah.
Obviously, because it wouldn't take that long to research.
Yeah. It's a finite. Yeah, well, yeah. We have discussed, haven't we? The
parameters. Yeah. They like things with parameters.
And nowadays, I think we're allowed to say that, they do like to be able to give the contestant a sort of an idea of what they need to research and what the question setters will be researching. So was it purely just watch all of the young ones?
Obviously I did a lot of reading, background reading. I did loads of utterly pointless research.
Of course you did.
I mean, literally the moment, because I forgot to memorise simple things and instead was doing things like memorising different, names of Victorian posters that were hidden behind the fridge. And then when the first question was, who wrote The Young Ones, Rick Mayall, Ben Elton, and... Mm-hmm. And I was like, which I also did feel to Lisa Mayer was a slightly insulting question. Mm. So I was a little bit put out by that, because I think she is very often, people don't talk about her enough and her importance in that. And from that point onwards, I thought, right, he's not going to ask me anything about what's behind the fridge. He's not going to ask me any of the minutiae of detail. And that's why, when it got to what was the name of the mascot that they had in Bambi, the first episode of the second series, I blanked. And I'd totally forgotten it was Bacon Sandwich, which is infuriating. So, of course, then, as you know, you probably don't know, because you, in fact, neither of you probably know, because you don't get things wrong very often. But, of course, then that just meant my social media feed was just packed with Bacon Sandwich, Bacon Sandwich, Bacon Sandwich, triple exclamation mark.
Oh, people love it when you get something wrong. I mean, think of the joy that you provided to those keyboard warriors, though, that, you know.
Well, I thought they'd all be focusing on Pasquale, who was doing Planet of the Apes.
And how did he do?
He did fine, but I could have answered all the ones that he got.
And who
to
else?
Be honest.
Who else was in New York?
Someone from Blue Peter. But like the current Blue Peter, and I think it's better as a 54-year-old man to not know who those people are. And then it was Grace Dent, and Grace Dent actually represented, I think, my anxiety, because she walked up and then fell before she got to the chair.
Oh no!
Which is just such a and it was such an interesting thing to do, because afterwards I got lots of people feedback going, oh God, you were so confident, you were so relaxed, and I thought, isn't it amazing? And that's when I even more confronted the fact that the difference between my exterior and my interior at that point, it was perhaps too great.
Mastermind has led a lot of us to some sort of revelations about our own state of mind and our strengths and weaknesses, I think. And so did you win your...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what I found fascinating, and I don't know if you've ever had this experience, either of you, that the moment that you no longer have to know anything, your brain just goes, fine.
Yep.
And it just switches off. Mm. It says, you haven't slept for 48 hours and you've crushed Pasquale. And so it doesn't matter. It's fine.
You've hit your target.
Yeah. Because I just thought, if I didn't beat Pasquale, the number... Oh, hi, Stuart Lee here again. Just so you know, Joe Pasquale, you've shamed all the comedians in the country, by not being able to crush Joe Pasquale. Because, of course, I won Celebrity Mastermind doing an obscure free jab. Yeah.
So, champion of champions now?
I don't know if I'd ever go back, because I think I've got cast iron alibis again.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, I always turned down University Challenge.
Which uni did you go to?
Royal Holloway in Bedford.
Okay.
I normally do have a cast iron excuse. This year, it's because I'm doing Abattoir, the horror movie festival in Aberystwyth. And I'm afraid that University Challenge does not, because I'm going to be working with the man who made the film Deathline about a cannibal that lives in Russell Square Station, and Jeremy Dyson from The League of Gentlemen. And that is the kind of company that I'd rather keep. Wonderful.
And who knows who would be on the Royal Holloway and Bedford team?
Well, weirdly enough, what's his name? The wonderful composer who wrote all the music for League of Gentlemen.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go on, your question. Who composed all the music for the League of Gentlemen television series?
I'm trying to visualise the credits now. I don't know.
I know as well. It's ridiculous, yeah. Isn't it?
You see, we're going to have to fact check it now.
And we've just proved there that we do sometimes blank, Robin. We do. But
this is a different scenario, isn't it? Because I think this is the thing that... Because the reason I've eventually said yes to doing the Mastermind one was because I did Point the Celebrities.
Oh, yes.
And I didn't blank there at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, maybe I wouldn't blank. Maybe this would give me the confidence to, but at least the confidence that if I had failed, it would be my personal failure. Where the university challenge, there's three people looking at you, furious. Shostakovich, oh my God, Mussorgsky.
That's interesting though, because a lot of people I think would think, oh, being part of a team would be more relaxing, but you're... Kind of your sense of responsibility is greater than your sense of personal shame.
Yeah, and they're both quite high.
Yeah. And who were you on Pointless with?
Kate Williams the first time and Josie Long the second time.
Nice.
Yes, and we were a powerful team on both occasions.
Trophy
both times. I think we had about 3 or 4 Pointless answers with Josie and me. I think it was Alderney. That might not have been Pointless, but Aaron Darty Roy was, and Always Crashing in the Same Car was, and there was another one as well. And my silly thing was allowing Josie to lead in a predominantly carry-on based round, whereas I should have taken on as an elderly man. But what was great with having Josie there is, even though now she's very old, and I say that because she used to call me old man when I was 26.
Yeah.
And so I think it's fair enough to take my revenge on 41-year-old Josie Long now, because that's how she saw 26 as old, she must see herself is ancient now.
She started it.
But she was very good on knowing young people's things about pop music.
Yeah.
And so she'd go, but everyone will know that. And I'd say, no, they won't.
No, yes.
Most people won't. So that worked really well to have the dynamic of me being able to be reasonably good at working. Aaron Darty Roy was the scariest one.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a big fan of Aaron Darty Roy.
And books are very much your bag,
I do like books. Yeah. I do like them. I like books and I clamour for social change. And Aaron Darty Roy combines both of those. She's wonderful. Non-fiction writing.
And you love the ladies. So it's
a little bit less of that, please, Lucy Porter.
Have you retrieved from your mind / phone the League of Gentlemen composer?
Joby Talbot.
Of course, yeah, Joby Talbot. No. Which is such a great name as well.
It's a lovely name,
It's a name near a fictional name. And I love those names.
Joby. No, it's called Joby. Good. Our listeners will all have been ahead of us on that, but we've now given you closure, so
I can do a mic drop there, because I'm, as much as I'm enjoying the chat, I need to shoot off.
This hasn't worked out well at all, has it?
It has not worked out. Our timings have been all askance today. Yeah.
Well, you're going to miss out on the quiz that I've prepared for Robin, which is a tragedy. But you do have to... It's very important. She's got to go... Are we allowed to say what you're doing? Or is it... It's just some filming. She's got to go
do some filming. It's some filming that probably be on around the time this episode goes out.
Yeah, you just need to escape from the studio. That's okay.
To somewhere in particular.
Yeah.
Well, not to a city, certainly.
No, you shouldn't. This is a nice weekend. You shouldn't go to the city. No. Escape somewhere else.
Yeah.
Can I just ask you before you go, though... Because I'm sure you will obviously, you've talked about this before, but what for you is the TV quiz show that you would be, or any quiz show that you would go, no. And it might not be about nerves. It might be about they go in a direction that I don't like or.
I mean, I'm such a quiz addict that probably I would say yes to any of them. It's...
What about puzzling with Lucy Worsley because of the maths?
The maths would put me off puzzling.
Yeah.
Definitely. The Krypton Factor, that assault course would put me off.
Yeah.
And sort of the spatial reasoning stuff.
Yeah.
But other than that, I would give it a go because I just enjoy the challenge.
What's that one Warwick Davis does?
Tenable.
Oh, Tenable.
That's a funny one, isn't it?
It is. There was a weird period in the middle of Tenable. So when it began, there were clearly measurable lists that they could give you. So now the top 10 best-selling artists of all time on the UK singles chart or something like that. And now they're being a little bit more specific. The first 10 elements in the periodic table which do not share the last 3 letters with any other element. Mm. They're having to be very specific. But in the middle, they kind of ran out of the obvious lists and they hadn't worked out this new direction. So there was the top 10 sandwich fillings according to a random survey in 1997. Yes. What? How are you supposed to... Oh, that's... Mm.
Yeah.
That's, top 10 that's mammals that appear in the Thornbirds.
Yes.
Birds, so it's and not mammals.
Anything with subjectivity or without clear rules. And I think that's probably why I always like Pointless, because they are very specific about announcing the category and then what we mean by this. Mm. And even this is our source, or, you know, according to the United Nations. I love that. And well, when things get woolly, makes me uncomfortable.
There's no fun without that, rules.
I've never been on Pointless.
Have you not?
It's not allowed.
No.
Oh, other side, contractual.
Isn't it? Contractual. Well, no, I think I would be allowed on it. But they've never asked me. Or House of Games. Just saying, Osman.
Oh, House of Games is always the one that I get an email from in early January, which means that, oh, God, we forgot to book people. And I always say to my agent, just say that I realise that David Mitchell will become available or whatever. And it's entirely true. I always get, in the beginning of January, I'll get about 3 phone calls from TV shows that are not just a celebrity charity spin-off. And then someone goes, oh, it's okay, there's another page in this fun fact. Yeah, there is. Bruno Brooks is available.
You lose so much weight, Bruno Brooks. Is there anything else you want to ask Jenny before she leaves?
What is it, right, so when you walk into a pub quiz, what is the reaction of other people who are sat around there? Do they immediately go, well, are the pens kind of like, thrown up in the air? Or do people go, yeah, I'm going to take her down, think she's blinking knows everything?
Oh, then the main people don't recognise me.
Right.
So I've got that advantage. Some of my colleagues are very distinctive looking and there's nothing different about the way they are presented on TV to walking around. I mean, if you're 6'6" or whatever it is, then, you're going to be very obvious when you walk into the pub. I think sometimes people notice when they overhear my voice.
Right.
Go, oh. But usually it's sort of a bit of a, oh, well, if we beat her, we've done very well. And I think proper quizzes would appreciate that my job involves some measure of keeping my hand in,
yeah,
and keeping practiced. So it's a bit of fun, isn't
it's
it?
It's like when Robin Williams would go to a 50-seater club in San Francisco. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's just like, yeah.
Yeah, it's actually like, oh, this is kind of, it would make me think this must be a good pub quiz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you do the arena-based quizzes, but every now and again you've got to do some of them just to get your hammer. Because I love when I go on holiday, normally to a seaside town, my wife and my son, we always love when we go, oh, brilliant, we're in Lyme Regis the same week that the Red Lion has got its pub quiz.
Yes. Yes.
And it never matters that we've got the smallest team. Yeah. In fact, when Archie, when he was about 11, I think, and he was so, because of horrible histories and stuff like that. Mm. I mean, everyone had a strength. And I think out of like 20 teams, we came fourth and every other team was at least 8+, a number of people. And I was
that's
like,
that's when you feel like a real quiz hustler. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, a decent quiz will give you compensatory points for size of team as well. That's what our
you know, Lyme Regis rules, though.
Well, God,
yeah. Another round on the French lieutenant's woman.
And then it ends with a bare knuckle fight, just to, it's the Dorset way. Right, we've been let you go then, babe.
I'm gonna head off.
Well, good luck with whatever you're doing.
Thank you. I'll try not to spend more than $500,000.
No, there's another clue. So who wants to be a half a millionaire?
I would love to be a half a millionaire.
Yeah.
If only.
Yeah, well, your net worth is about 5.8 million by the last
According to that website.
Account. Yeah, yeah.
There is some weird website. My son looks it up and he goes, Dad, just so you know, since last year, you now own, you have £48 million.
Yeah. Yeah, nice to know, isn't it?
I wonder if it's someone like Brian Cox doing that. Because I think Brian's net worth is when man's only £12.50. And you're like, hang on a minute. It's like he's putting all the money that he makes into our... what were you on that whatever that site is?
Less than Jenny, but certainly more than real life.
Yeah, yeah. I have no idea what that site is or who makes it up or, my as usual with so many things, the internet, my son knows far more than me.
Yeah, we'll get Archie to,
work out the calculations, the real ones.
Yeah.
No, I don't want I don't want to think about
it. We don't want to know.
Right.
Right. Lovely to see you, gorgeous.
Bye.
See you maybe in Darlington. She's in Panto in Darlington.
Panto. You're Panto?
Yeah.
Oh. Who are you with?
Gareth Gates.
Right.
She's with Gareth Gates. I'm just doing it for the listener, in case we leave this in.
Why not? It's
she's
nice
not on
to,
mic, but she's going to Darlington.
To the Darlington Hippodrome, Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, starring myself and Gareth Gates, the Pop Idol runner-up. he's got higher billing than me.
And who else is... Have you got anyone who's called TVs? Well, you can't say. Right. That's always my favourite thing. TVs, Mike Channing. Who is TV's Mike Channing? He's TV. He's no, it's TV's.
That's one of my ultimate burns if I describe someone as TV's anything.
Yeah. No actual discernible credits.
Or comedy somebody.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Where were we? Pointless.
Pointless, yeah. You've done Pointless, haven't you?
I've done Pointless a number of times. Kevin Eldon was my last Pointless husband.
I saw Kevin Eldon on The Chase the other day, which was a bit of a surprise. There's something about Kevin Eldon and The Chase which somehow felt odd. You know, there was an Olympic swimmer there, there was someone who presents a thing, and there was Kevin Eldon.
Well, it's ITV famous is a very specific kind of famous. Like, that's the most famous, I think.
Yeah.
And... and you wouldn't think Kevin Eldon was ITV famous, I don't think. Sorry, Kevin, if you're listening, but you are now.
Yeah, I think he's spectacular, though.
Oh, he's amazing. Right, yeah. One of the most talented people around. Should we have a little quiz?
Yeah, let's do a quiz. Let's find out. I'm terrified of all these things.
Well, do you know, it's hard, though, with you, because you know so much about so many things and you're so interested in so many things.
But the trouble is the connection. So it's the moment the connection works. And it is such an odd thing, isn't it? Which is a bit like, you know, just before you do a gig and your brain is so empty and you feel so tired.
Mm.
And it's actually your body just going, just so you know, I don't want you using any neural connections for the next half an hour because you're going to be really using a lot of them.
That's
it. So it's almost like the dull hum. There's almost no electricity in the brain.
Then, yeah, the yawning, sort of standing backstage and not being able to find your way to the stage because you can't remember what door they told you to go through. And then you get on stage and
it works.
Got your
foot in the bucket of sand again.
Classic slapstick, which is one of your interests. And I did think maybe because we're both involved in the Slapstick Festival in Bristol every year, which is it's February this year, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or 2024. So do come along to that, everybody.
What's been your favourite thing to do at the Slapstick Festival? Can you do a Friday this time? Because you always go by the time...
I know, I always do midweek because I've always got weekend commitments at home. But I think I really liked Anita Luth.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, I knew about Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, but I did a really sort of deep dive into her, and that's been one of my... That's one thing that I think she was such an interesting and quite difficult and... you know, quite unpleasant in lots of ways, woman, but she was so brilliant. And I think that discovering her in her richness and variety, that was one of mine. What about you?
Do you know what? I'll tell you what I really want to do. is I want to do one about Dickie Henderson.
Yes, please.
Why? And every year I say that. Now, some of you listening, you might not know who Dickie Henderson is. It's one of the strangest things that for Lucy and me, but now we're grown up, we are almost the same generation. You used to be much younger than me because I think you were 3 years younger than me when we started in stand-up, but now we're the same generation.
Exactly
the fractions
same.
Are tiny. And Dickie Henderson, even by the time we were growing up, had almost vanished. But he was utterly enormous. He was huge. He actually was also really liked in the US as well. He'd been a child actor in the US. He had his abilities as a singer, as a slapstick comic, as an eccentric dancer, as an actor. He could do everything, and not in a like kind of he can get away with it. And it really frustrates me when you see certain people who are celebrated over and over and over again. No one ever talks about Dickie Henderson. And his drunk routine, his set-em-up Joe routine, in which he's basically he's a drunk and he's getting caught in the stool and all this stuff. And he kind of, every single time you watch it, there's a different kind of bit of business in it. And I just think that someone like him, like I've always wanted to do a whole thing about eccentric dancing, so that beautiful footage of him and Max Wall and Billy Dainty. And it's that bit where you go, why don't people know? Because this isn't the moment you show someone. That's the joy of slapstick, isn't it? Is sometimes you manage to get them to do a show which has got one of your favourite things in, and afterwards everyone comes up to you at the bar and goes, Lucy, you've got to tell me. What was her name again? She was absolutely amazing. I can't believe.
Yes, it's so true. And with Dickie Henderson, there must be enough footage. I mean, you know, I mean, because I have been down the YouTube rabbit hole of trying to find, because the other one that I really love is Bewitched, Bothered and Bewildered, where he's got the guy who's on the mic cable is sort of, he's trying to wander across the stage, and there's a stagehand who's letting out his mic cable as he walks around singing. And it is definitely on YouTube, and listeners, you must look it up, because...
Yeah, Bewitched, there's a fall in that. There's a pratfall in that. A bit like watching Buster Keaton, when you sometimes, you go, right, we've got the power now to slow it down ourselves, you know, and you slow it down to try and work out, because it defeats gravity.
That
is an amazing routine. So this is your project, everyone, and there will be questions on next week. I'll set some questions about Dickie Henderson next week. But you're it's like the Jovers. You've seen the Jovers, haven't you?
No.
Oh, right. The Jovers were a northern English couple who did Vegas. They had one of those perfect 12 minutes. And go and look up the Jovers, J-O-V-E-R-S. They are just... Because also I was trying to think, what was the name of... Dickie Henderson's wife was an amazing... The sisters, there were three of them. And they did the most amazing acrobatics and gymnastics.
Okay.
You know that bit where you go, how are the legs there? How is the head there?
Yes.
Oh, my God. This is, you know, this is a short... career, because by the time you're 19, your body will go, oh, now we snap if you do this. I just love those acts so much, and there's not enough celebration of them.
I know, well, maybe a Dickie Henderson sort of retrospective, definitely, but also just, I do just love watching all those from, what was the, there was one particular late night show that our mutual friend Carl Cooper, he had, and it wasn't Johnny Carson, it was, it'll come back to me, but anyway, all of the acts from that, all of the kind of special acts, I would love to watch a whole night of kind of physical special acts as part of the Slapstick Festival.
I'll tell you what, should we suggest to them that on the Wednesday or Thursday, before you've got other things to do, we'll do Lucy and Robin's very best of YouTube.
Yes.
All of the different things that we found by trawling through. Right, I'm going to send Chris a message about that. I think that would be so much fun.
That would be great. Let's do that. Okay, and you must all come to it, dear listeners. You must come to Bristol because it's one of the best cities in the entire world. And you can see our YouTube faves. That would be great. Right, so the quiz I've done you is not about slapstick. Because of Infinite Monkey Cage, I thought I'll just do a quiz on infinity.
Okay.
So it's a wide-ranging quiz, but our listeners don't mind
and
that.
And lengthy.
It will never end. It's, yeah, I mean, it's loosely about infinity, or anyway, we'll get the gist. So the lemniscate symbol, which is used to represent infinity, the name comes from the Latin lemniscus. And what does lemniscus mean?
I don't know, but my favourite joke about infinity is the number 8 sitting in the chair in therapy, and the therapist says, if you'd just like to lie back, and the number 8 says, I can't do that, we'll be here forever. There we go.
Oh, well, that's much better. The correct answer is ribbon, but who cares?
Oh, fair enough, yeah.
To infinity and beyond is the catchphrase of which animated character?
Buzz Lightyear.
It is. And can you name two voice actors who have lent their voices to that character?
Oh, lent their voice. It's Tim Home Improvement, Tim Allen.
Yes.
And the other one is the one where everyone went, it's really bad about Tim Allen, probably because he voted for Trump or something. That's why they took it away. Justin Bieber. I don't know.
Chris Evans. But Chris Evans, you know, fair enough, and not that Chris Evans.
Or the other Chris Evans.
Or the one who produces your
stuff. Yeah, there's a lot of Chris Evans,
aren't there? Yeah, there's a lot of Chris Evans, but it's...
One of the top 10 Chris Evans, though. The number one is always the Chris Evans who lives just outside Cardiff.
Yes.
And makes beautiful things for Go Faster Strike.
He's the best Chris Evans by quite some margin. There are loads of others as well. James Brolin. He plays Emperor Zurg in the latest Lightyear movie, but he also voiced old Buzz Lightyear in a different one. And there's quite a few other ones in, TV. I think Patrick Warburton did it for a TV show as well, which makes sense because I always thought Tim Allen, I thought that was Patrick Warburton when I first saw it. So anyway, there's lots, but you absolutely got that one. Road to Nowhere. I mean, that's kind of Infinity, right?
Oh, yeah, it could be an Infinity Road.
Which Talking Heads album was that on?
Oh, it's not Life Without Buildings.
No.
So I can see the cover, but I can't remember the name. No. Oh, God. It's red and it's black and it's white and it's...
1985 was the release.
I know.
It's not going to help you, but I'm just giving some colour for this.
Well, it's on Stop Making Sense, the album of that.
It is on Stop Making Sense.
So technically...
You can have that.
I can have that as a cheat. Go on,
but it was originally on Little Creatures.
Oh, fair enough, yeah.
The Neverending Story.
Yeah.
The movie was released in 1984, but the song Neverending Story from that movie. Can you name the composer and the vocalist?
Right, so it's Limahl.
Yes.
And the composer, I do know this, Giorgio Moroder?
It is. Yeah. Of course you got that. Lyrics were by Keith Forsey, for anyone who's interested in that.
And, of course, Peter Falk's in Neverending Story, which makes it a good thing, isn't he?
Yes,
is he in Neverending Story?
I don't know.
Or is he only in... Which one's it? Because he's in The Princess Bride, isn't he?
He is in Princess Bride. Maybe,
maybe he's not
in
Neverending Story.
Of,
yeah, I thought no, maybe he wasn't Neverending Story. It'd be nice if he was in Neverending Story. It'd be nice for Peter Falk to be in more...
It would be nice for him to be in everything, yeah. Mm. I'd be up for that. Which band had a number one single in 1997 with I Wanna Be The Only One?
I Wanna Be The Only One. I don't know if anyone heard. My watch pinged there.
in approval.
As if to say, you've got no idea. I Want To Be The Only One.
I Wanna Be The Only One.
No, I don't know the song. I do remember that when I was staying with you once after we'd done the Edinburgh Fringe, I bought an album by The Only Ones at that wonderful record shop in Chiltern.
Yes.
Busy Bee.
Busy Bee Records, yes. Oh, those were the days.
It's great. Only Ones, very underrated band, because everyone knows, obviously, Another Girl, Another Planet. But if you listen to their stuff... he was obviously went through a lot of battles, but great. Pete
there's
Parrott.
Another song by There's another song by them that I really like, and I can't think what it is now. Anyway, we'll come back to it. The band who had a number one with "I Want to Be the Only One" in 1997. Louise Redknapp was a member of the band. Does that happen anyway?
Oh, I thought you said 1977.
No, 1997.
Oh, that's why you know it so well, because this would have been you'd have been in your teens then, wouldn't you? Of course, I've totally forgotten what they're called.
Eternal.
Yeah. Sure. Again, I would have been 28 by then.
Yeah.
To have known that would suggest that I was somebody who goes, I've got to say, I really do. Loaded has got a really great Louise Redknapp photo shoot. And what happens after you've edited Loaded? You present something on GB News and approach fascism. That is what that kind of nudity can lead to.
That's what Louise Redknapp has... It's not her fault, obviously.
It's not Louise Redknapp's fault.
No.
I think she's just been in Grease the Musical, isn't she?
Yeah,
as opposed to the other forms.
She's living her best life.
Yeah.
She's doing well. We love her. Oh, it's another pop question. I'll tell you what, I'll give you... there's two tiers to this. Endless Love was a single in 1981 for a male and female duet of two very famous...
Oh, God, it was, wasn't it?
Soul stars.
Right. I'll tell you what, I'll just say, because I know it's wrong, Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton.
That
just saves time.
Just say it. Just say it. Just say something that you
I'll
know.
I'll say...
Is this is exactly
Diana
what you
Ross.
Do. Yes.
And who was... Lionel Richie?
Yes.
There we go. Right.
It was there. You didn't even need to fall back, but you did.
I like Lionel Richie. He's got a sense of humour, that man.
I wrote a jukebox musical for Lionel Richie's music. And I don't know why they approached me to do it, and they never made it. But
that's fantastic!
Well, I didn't write the whole thing, obviously, but I wrote a synopsis. It was quite good. Get in touch, Lionel, if you're listening and you want to revive that project.
The thing is that jukebox musicals is best if it's a band that you can never see again.
Yes.
If it's someone who's continually on, like if they did, say, a jukebox musical of Chic, that wouldn't really work because Nile Rodgers is perpetually playing in the United Kingdom. So it's just not going to...
Bucks Fizz, you know, there's always a variant of Bucks Fizz somewhere in your area. Check press for details.
That reminds me, because obviously there was the Only Fools and Horses musical. I just thought I'd tell you my least favourite title of any autobiography ever, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I see it in charity shops all the time, is David Jason's Adele of a Life. Also annoying for Adele, because she could have had that, even though that wouldn't have really made sense. But Adele of a Life. Every time I see that, it makes me feel sick.
I mean... Yeah, to Dell and Back would have been better.
Yeah.
If you're going to do that as a pun, then...
Dell Razor. Yeah, and he's got all him with, you know, he's dressed up as a Cenobite, yeah.
That's, if anyone wants to send in their most disappointing celebrity autobiography...
Dell Razor, right. I've even got the sequence where he becomes a Cenobite, right? So he falls through the bar and then rises up there... Yeah, played by Doug Bradley, isn't it? Is it Doug Bradley?
Very good. You're very good.
Due to my failure on the questions you're actually asking me, I'm answering questions just
harder
perpetually.
Questions. It's great. No, I love this. Right, Amanda, take a note. Game show idea, quiz show idea is you can either answer the question you're asked or you come up with your own question related to the original question and then a jury of people vote on whether that's is nice harder, idea. Easier, or the same as the original question, and then you get points accordingly. Yep, we'll call it Adele of a quiz.
I'm so excited by Del Razor. Lovely jubbly.
Oh, I hope something comes of that at some point. I'll press on with this because it's leading...
Yeah,
it's
we're
not
getting
the quiz
somewhere.
Itself,
we're filling time, aren't
we? Well, this is often more... This is what a good quiz should be, is not really answering the questions, it's having the conversations around.
Well, that's Infinite Monkey Cage is the thing, which is one of the things that I always bang on about, is the fact that answers are not as interesting as the journey to get to the answer.
Yeah.
But that's the, you know, the whole history. I was doing a thing about Douglas Adams the other day. And it was lovely. There was like John Lloyd and Kathleen Moran and various others down at the South Bank. And we got talking about that thing that, you know, the number 42 is a really great idea of what the answer to the life, the universe and everything is. Because when we actually get an answer of, say, what is human consciousness, it'll be a boring equation.
Yeah.
Which won't illuminate. But what will have illuminated will have been all of the journeys and all of the questions asked to eventually get to the answer. So the answer is not the interesting bit.
Yes.
So what I would like to see, a more Samuel Beckett take on the nature of a quiz.
Well, I think we're providing sort of some of that now.
Yeah, I think so. Call it Waiting for God One Out. And it will be the ghost of Paul Daniels will be playing the part of Dee Dee.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to work.
I mean... Yeah.
It's weird. I don't get invited by TV executives to come in and pitch ideas. Apparently, they're abstract or niche.
Well, this is why this format lends itself very nicely to this kind of meandering. Who wrote the 1996 novel Infinite Jest?
David Foster Wallace.
I can't.
Have you ever read it all?
Yeah, I did actually.
You read it all?
At the time. I can't remember anything at all about it now except that it was complicated.
Well, you often confuse it with the autobiography of Virginia Wade, don't you, due to the tennis links. I've lied to someone once, and I don't know why. I was on a train reading a selection of David Foster Wallace essays late at night, and this bloke went, "Oh, you're in David Foster Wallace?" And I went, "Oh, yeah. Anyone, you read Infinite Jest?" And for some reason, I went, "Yes." I mean, I'd read the first 80 pages, and I hadn't stopped because I got bored. I stopped because I've got a very bad attention span. And then he went, "Yeah, you know that scene?" And I was like, "Why did I say yes? Why did I not just say I've read the first 80 pages? Why didn't I just say?" And now I'm stuck all the way to Hemel Hempstead.
Yeah.
Having to go, "Oh, God, it's been ages since I've read it." So the car boot, oh, God, yeah.
Well, we've all done that. Everybody in the entire world has just reflectively answered yes.
Yeah.
To some question and then had to unpick. My worst one was when I was talking to Jonathan Ross, clang, name drop, but...
It doesn't clang as much as it used to.
It doesn't,
It's
does
still
it?
Floating, actually, just above the carpet.
And I somehow I'd got It's a Wonderful Life confused with Life is Beautiful, yeah. which I hadn't seen. And then, yeah, just tied myself up in knots.
That's a dangerous film. It's yeah. a Wonderful Life is Beautiful. And go, no, let me show you what would have happened if the Holocaust hadn't happened. Yes. Sorry, I really think this film where an angel justifies how good things... No, this is not working at all.
Yeah, that was a conversation that I wished I could have gotten out of.
So you thought it was that you confused...
And sort of started off by going, oh, God, yeah, I have seen it. Yeah. Oh, it's so heartwarming, isn't it? Oh, it's really, you know, I could watch it time and time again. And just enough, it was sort of enough wrong that I... And anyway, and then the penny dropped that he was talking about this movie about the Holocaust that I actually hadn't seen. Awkward times.
Yeah, but that is, I would even disagree with you on your take on It's a Wonderful Life.
Okay, yeah.
Because I think for most of it, but I agree, the memory every time you go and turn it on is, oh, It's a Wonderful Life, son. Oh. It's about like Muriel's Wedding, which yes. I've watched enough times, which I absolutely adore. But Muriel's Wedding was sold as a comedy.
Yes, and it's terribly
and you go, this is
depressing.
Not a comedy. This is a really, this is like a Douglas Sirk movie a lot of the time. And then, because the worst one, have you seen Synecdoche, New York?
Yes.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yes.
Someone lent it to me, my friend Catherine lent it to me, and she went, you really enjoy this. And I didn't really know, I knew it was a Kaufman film, I didn't know about that. But on the front, it had I think it was a quote from the Daily Star, which just went, the funniest film of the year. So I presumed it was going to be the funniest film of the year, not the most agonising exercise in existential anxiety and the ultimate hopelessness of our own existence and the thwarted nature of love. There's not a joke in it. There's not a single pratfall.
I mean, that would have been harder to fit on the DVD cover, admittedly. It's a wordier take, but yeah, no, I know. It's no Dickie Henderson, is it?
No, it's no Dickie Henderson. An absolute lack of eccentric dancing.
Let's do another...
Yeah, go on.
If you were to go to a mid-morning meal where you could have infinite Prosecco or other alcohol of your choice, what would be the name for that?
Oh.
It's sort of mid-morning and you're with a load of your mates.
Right, so it's...
And they're slinging out croissants and you can have as much Prosecco as you want, mate. It's infinite. It's a bottomless brunch.
Oh, okay, right.
I mean, it's got nothing to do with infinity, but I was just thinking, what are other things that never end?
See, the only bottomless thing I remember being in, I think it was Johannesburg a few years ago, and went to a cafe and it said bottomless cup of coffee, maximum 3 cups. And I've never got over the clash of ideologies in the bottomless nature as interpreted by that particular cafe.
Yes, it's endless fun, but there will
endless
be
endless fun. Fun must end in 10 minutes.
I've got one more question for you. There are 6 Infinity Stones in the Avengers Infinity War. I was running out of Infinity. They are space, mind, reality, power, time, and
turmeric.
Yes, congratulations,
yeah,
well done. That's the one.
Everyone I've actually seen
turmeric.
One of those films. I had to just sit through the really long final one.
I'll just tell the listeners it was sold. That was your last question. There we go. So tell us about Infinity War.
I was just... and I just had to keep turning to someone going, who's that? Was she in another film? Why is Gwyneth Paltrow in this? What's that person doing? And I had no idea. It's like just 3 hours.
Yeah.
And all of those films, as far as I can see, have you had to go and see them?
We did them all in lockdown, so we watched all of them with the kids in lockdown, and then so now we have to go and see them. But even my kids, I think, are starting to go, actually, this is sort of quite bollocks, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the first hour of the film where you go, none of this is required.
Yeah,
it's this is a slow setup. Then really miss the superhero who died in the last film. I miss them too. How are you doing, the Hulk? Hulk sad, you know, and all of that. It just goes on and on. And I am very much a, you know, under 2 hours movie. 90 minutes is perfect. 90 minutes is great. And I'll tell you what I saw the other day. I keep getting this wrong, even though I've been wearing a badge of it for ages, which is the writer, typist, artist, king. Writer, typist, pirate, king.
With Kelly MacDonald and...
Kelly MacDonald and Monica Dolan.
Monica Dolan, that's it.
And Carol Morley's film. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what have you got wrong about it?
No. I keep forgetting because it's called writer, artist, typist. No, typist, pirate, artist, king. But I always get that wrong in the order. Yeah.
Two pack, there you go.
Yeah, so when I went to the cinema, one for the Karen Morley film, please. but it's great, and I think people listening to this would like it as well, because it's got so many different... It's a bit like someone compared it to Frank, that film with Michael Fassbender.
Yeah.
In terms of being the way that it's about art, and it's also about mental health and loads of other things. And Monica Dolan's just remarkable, as is Kelly MacDonald, because Kelly MacDonald's the one who has to kind of... Monica Dolan is playing a very character of great eccentricity and mental health issues. So she's very, you know, very flamboyant. And Kelly MacDonald is this kind of the anchor of those scenes, and she's absolutely amazing as well.
Yeah, so go and watch that instead of whatever the latest... Well, are there even any Marvel films out anymore? I always like them for a little nap. That's what the last Spider-Man... Although I like the Spider-Man, you know, the animated ones. I think they're quite good.
Oh,
Spider-Verse.
I was very cross about the last one.
They're very pretty.
Honestly, you're telling me I spent 2.5 hours for you... to set up the next film. I was presuming what was being set up was then going to in some way, but no, no, no.
Yeah, no, we don't pay anything off.
That's got nothing to do with quizzes, though, is it?
No, it hasn't. But again, the journey has been fun. It really has. So if I could have quizzed you on anything, what would you like it to have been? I mean, obviously, I threw together something on Infinity.
I often wonder about what my favourite thing would be to be quizzed on, because I think if I did ever do Mastermind again, I would pick something that I really wanted to learn about, which I know is a big risk. Mm. That's why I wanted to do Vonnegut, because even though I'd read... I think I've left about one or two novels because I didn't want to finish that. So Bluebeard I've never read, and I think it's probably one other one as well. But I would love to spend a month just immersed reading all of the biographies and stuff like that. I still have such a great love of classic horror films as well.
Yeah.
So Boris Karloff, you know, is it's all, and I find that intriguing thing where sometimes if someone turns on a television channel, I can see a split second of a black and white film, and sometimes one I've never even seen before, and I'll know it somehow because I spent so much of my childhood just sitting, reading movie books, and just taking it all in, and then it turns out it's all clustered still in there.
Yes, so that will be the last thing that goes when the faculties decline. You'll still have that.
Edward Everett Horton. No, Edward Everett Horton, yes. In fact, the last thing I was reading about Edward Everett Horton was yesterday. I was reading a piece from Kenneth Williams' diaries where he was talking about having a go somewhere where he was absolutely bursting. And he went in and there was all manner of things going on. And he had a semi-yard. But then he heard the bowels next door and that quite got rid of the semi-yard. That's my life.
Like there must be, we will have to work out some sort of, it is just, maybe are you the quiz host and you kind of take it off at the tangents and then other people have to kind of wrestle a question out?
Yeah, that's a nice idea. Because Brian Cox always complains, he goes, no one even knows what that question was about, because when I start asking questions sometimes on Monkey Cage, what happens is that my brain starts asking one question and then halfway through immediately moves on to another possibility because it's made me think about something else.
Yeah.
And then the third part of the question has no link to the first part and very little to the second bit. And now that I understand why my brain does it and it's fine, but before you just find it annoying with yourself and you just go, oh, how frustrating that I can't find you do this linear route.
Well, maybe that sort of ADHD quiz, you know, something that is specifically, I mean, God knows we could get a grant for it, I'm sure, have some sort of neurodiverse quiz. And we'll work that up. But yeah, I think because not what I find, and Jenny has talked about this before, is that with being on a quiz, it is about recall, and it is that you have to find that thing in your brain that you need. And sometimes I can find everything around, and I would love to be able to say, look, the reason I'm not giving you the answer to this is because, very much like we have just done, the reason is because it's now started me thinking about, you know, something else that it's a shop I saw in Coventry the other day, and they had a book in the window that, anyway. So maybe there's...
See, the moment you said Coventry, I was immediately thinking of one of my favourite things in the Herbert Gallery, the Herbert Museum, which is in their Lady Godiva section, where it has Naked Woman Within 10 Feet of Princess Margaret. It was someone, there was some protest in the late 1950s, and the fact that that length, imagine that.
10 feet.
I mean, dangling away, just 10 feet away from the Queen's sister. Sorry, but I've taken that off your yes, so yeah.
I think Princess Margaret, did you read Craig Brown's Princess
Margaret?
Yeah, Marm,
darling.
It's amazing, isn't it?
What a horrible person.
I know, interesting that he writes
some of those
such...
stories are...
I know. Again, well, hopefully, listeners, you will have got some good book recommendations and music recommendations, and you will be going to look for Dickie Henderson.
I'm just reading a book that I bet you've read, Careless People by Sarah Churchwell.
No, I'm not. Tell me about
it. I think you'd like it. It's basically her talking about the world from which Great Gatsby grew and what it was about F. Scott Fitzgerald and Zelda and how it all grew out of that. And as I have that on my journey down here from Retford, I was balancing that and a Patricia Highsmith biography. I've had a lovely time.
Lovely. Was she wasn't snails, was she, Patricia Highsmith? Was she the one who was obsessed with snails?
She might have been. I've not got to that bit yet.
I think I might be thinking of another famous crime author. Anyway, we could go on and we will.
Yeah, we will.
We'll do it. You know, like at the end of In Our Time, where they do that thing where they end the programme and then Melvyn Bragg says, oh, should we have a cup of tea? Yes. Oh, what else didn't we get to talk to? We'll do a little bit of added content.
And when he mentions the cups, it's finally your chance to talk about the penis washing cup.
Yes.
I presume you've talked about this on your podcast already.
No, I don't think I ever have. That's very sweet of you to remember that.
Oh,
yeah.
It's such a lovely story.
I nearly got, basically, for the listener, I once got accidentally, instead of being shown into the Woman's Hour studio at Radio 4 to talk about the penis beaker incident on Mumsnet. I won't go into what that was, but it was... and they instead took me into the In Our Time studio where they were about to record a live hour, a 45-minute long show about Galen, the Roman, father of medicine. Anyway.
And, of course, Galen had a Toby jug. Lucy. Yes, it was his penis Toby jug. I don't know why I'm here.
Oh, God love you. Well, I mean, I could talk to you all night, and we probably will, so that will be on the added extras, but it has been a joy. I would always have you on my pub quiz team, Robin, because I think, you know, you would, the chat around everything would be
so
interesting.
We'd have fun afterwards.
We'd have a lot of fun. Who would you have on your pub quiz team?
Oh, that's an interesting one, isn't it?
Would you have Brian Cox or...
No, I would have Carl Cooper.
Yes, I would.
My friend Carl Cooper. I would have Josie Long, because I think Josie's great. Yeah. And I'd have Joanna Neary, because I think Joanna Neary has a wonderful... again, that perfect mix of an incredible body of knowledge that she's got. She has the most wonderful books.
You're going to say incredible body.
Yeah, please don't cut that.
He loves
it's
the
very
ladies.
Very embarrassing. I'm playing the... No, she does have an incredible body. Like, just she's interested. She's like Josie and like Carl. They're three people who are interested in everything.
Yeah.
And so it wouldn't matter if we got the wrong answers because, again, going back to what we were just saying, we'd have a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I've had a great time with you today. Thank you very much.
Oh, what a fantastic segue.
Wasn't it great? It was very smooth. And now we'll have a cup of tea and talk about other things. Lovely Robin Ince, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you very much.
Right, well, that was a delightful chat with Robin.
It's always enlightening.
I know, he's just got so much to say. He's just so full of facts and thoughts and ideas. It's a joy. Now, we need to round up a couple of things. Mm-hmm. First of all, we were going, oh, what quiz show movies are there?
just the big Oscar winner. Just yes. Slumdog Millionaire.
We did forget
based on the novel Q&A.
Which is such a lovely film, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's probably my favourite. You know, light-hearted watch for a quiz movie.
Yeah.
I much prefer it to Starter for 10, but that's because I watched that and read the book after I'd been on University Challenge and I thought, oh, this is infuriating.
Yes.
It wouldn't happen like that,
well,
how dare they?
Yes, exactly. You knew too much was the problem.
Whereas Slumdog, that sort of working out how you know things and just by chance it happens that your life has led you to this moment,
yes,
that feels almost... like it could happen.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
For all quizzes, there's one moment where you go, the reason I know this is so ingrained in my being and it's meant to be that this is my winning answer.
Yeah, the question I was born to answer.
Exactly.
It's all led to this. Any others that you want to throw our way, listeners, please do.
Let's put together a watch list.
Fingersbuzzers@gmail.com, I think, isn't it? Or we're at
fingersbuzzers@gmail.com.
@fingersbuzzers on all your social medias. And then the other thing I wanted to round up was, who were the Olympian gods of Greek mythology? Which, of course, now I'm looking at it, it's much more complicated than I did.
Yeah, I think you could probably argue the toss about some of them as well. How many answers do you need?
Could be 12, could be 14.
Aphrodite.
Could be...
She's up there, right?
I'm going to give... I'm just quickly do the full list that I have found, and you can argue amongst yourselves. So, Zeus, yes. Apollo, Hades, Poseidon, Demeter. Hermes, Athena, Artemis, Hephaestus. Mm-hmm. Hephaestus. Hera... Dionysus. I've had a drink, I'll tell you. Aphrodite, Ares, Hestia, Persephone, Cronus, Pan, Leto, Tyche, Rhea, Priapus.
Oh, yeah.
There may be more. Other Olympian gods are available, but that was my list. So if you got any of those, well done. I mean, not any of them. If you got Zeus... Yeah,
you should have. If you got as far as Priapus, then
you've done very well. Yeah. And thank you very much for listening once again to
Fingers on Buzzers.
Yay!
Fingers on Buzzers starred Lucy Porter and Jenny Ryan and was produced by Amanda Redman with music by Kevin MacLeod and Justin Edwards. Email quiz at fingersonbuzzers.com and tweet at fingersbuzzers. Thanks for listening and don't forget to join us next time for more Fingers on Buzzers.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.